What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Ford 52 podcast. I'm your host, Chris Jones, and in this show, we're back with Steven Giorgella, and the subject today is the top three books you need to read if you want to be successful. Tell us, Steven.
That's such a huge mountain to climb just to start off. You will only be successful if you read these. Is that what you're saying, Chris?
I'm saying if you do not read these books, period, you won't be successful. Yeah, there's no way.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and just wipe my brow real quick here. All right, well, I guess I'm going to go through a couple.
Okay, it is possible. It's conceivable that you could be successful if you don't read these, but you should still read these.
Okay, cool. Got it. Thank you. I feel so much better now. All right. So I'm going to talk through two books that are very important to me. So just to be clear out there, I basically have like a collection of like 120 books. And out of all those books, I've read about all of them 40% of the way through would be the average, meaning so like I've finished some of them and there's I clip some of them, yada yada, but basically I buy books every time I'm like there's a thought-provoking moment where I'm like, oh, okay, this is, I'm gonna want to see this perspective. Okay. So I'm gonna talk about two of them that I think are really good for you regardless of like where you're at in if you're gonna be an entrepreneur or if you want to be a go-getter and you want to be like really influential in your life, I think that these books would help you. If you'd like to make a mark for yourself. And then I'm going to adjust my mic here a little bit. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, there we go. And then I'm going to talk about another one that's very industry specific. So first of all, the book Nudge. It's by Richard H. Thaler and Cass R. Sunstein, excuse me. I never really even looked at the authors on it. I just kind of read the book and
taken. That Sunstein used to be in the Obama administration.
Look at you, buddy. See, I didn't even know that.
He's a Harvard professor, too.
Does it say that on here? Did you steal that?
I just know that to be a fact.
Man, if it says Harvard on here, man, that was good. You pulled that out of nowhere. I didn't expect that. So here's why I think Nudge is super valuable for those out there. And I'm going to read a little piece of it just to kind of thought provoke a little bit. It's about rules of thumb. It's a small little blip in the book. Although rules of thumb can be very helpful, their use can also lead to systematic biases. This insight, first developed decades ago by two Israeli psychologists, Amos Tversky and Daniel Kahneman, 1974, has changed the way psychologists and eventually economists think about thinking. Their original work identified three heuristics or rules of thumbs, and anchoring, availability, and representativeness, and the biases that are associated with each. The research program has come to be known as the heuristics and biases approach to the study of human judgment. And so this whole book ends up making you take what we see as just like, I'm going to use the rule of thumb multiple times here. It makes you take what we see as just like, oh, it's a rule of thumb. You just go with it. And it makes you realize that isn't every single time. It can be a rule of thumb, but it could still be wrong. It could still be changed. It could still be different. And these tiny little things, nudges, can make such a huge impact, macroeconomical impact. And it goes through examples. It talks about in the book, I think the one that I find most interesting is Schiphol Airport. I had read the book before I went to Amsterdam. And Schiphol Airport is where I landed in Amsterdam. And when I went into the restroom, you find this is so lame but so cool at the same time. I went into the restroom and I went to the urinal and I thought there was a fly in the urinal. And then I looked at the other urinals and there was a little black fly that had been painted into the back of the urinal. And so I just went about my business. Yada, yada. Of course, I'm like aiming at the fly, doing my thing, right? And later on, I find out that it's in the book Nudge. And it's in the book because it's that one little change reduced the amount of urine left on the floor by 85%. because the men had a target and they learned how to fucking take a leak.
That's so weird.
Right, but it's Nudge, right? It's and so I'm reading this book and it mentions Schiphol Airport and I'm just like, what? There's no way, right? And I encourage, you know, I've mentioned this in the podcast before. I'm always putting myself on notice. So even when I thought of something quote unquote genius or something that worked really well the previous day, I'm coming back and I'm going, how could I have done this better, right? Nudge kind of does that for a whole book. It basically talks about these small little effects or these small little instances where you should maybe not take the, it's almost the observe the masses and do the opposite type thing. And the strategic use of that mentality.
In other words, you know, there's like, just because something is has always been done a certain way, it's the rule of thumb, it's just the way it's supposed to be done, that doesn't always necessarily mean it has to be done this certain way. You could nudge it, you could do something slightly different that could potentially have huge ramifications.
Yes, and it's going to help you specifically, at times, resist the temptation to automatically go with the norm. And again, this book is not for, I'm just to be clear, I've never had a beautifully diverse vernacular. Most of my words are fuck and random thoughts that I'm verbally processing. So I'd like to be clear that this is definitely a book that's a little bit above my reading pay grade most of the time, my reading ability. But I just read through it a little bit slower and I went to my wife and said, hey, Dr. Taren, what's this word mean? So it's definitely gonna be something that's gonna take you a little bit of time, but I think if you look through the book Nudge, like it's well worth your time. And I think that Nudge has made me a lot of money because basically I've gone into meetings and, specifically when clients have brought up the fact that they do this because everybody else does this and it works, the question usually is, well, I think I might have a better way than all of them. And here's what it is. And it's just this tiny little thing changed. And this will then go into my second book, which is The Mindset. Okay. The book is Mindset. It's by Dr. Carol Dweck. It's my favorite book. It's definitely my favorite book. I want to read you a little excerpt. Can you go ahead, Chris? What?
Excerpt.
Is that the correct way to pronounce it?
I promise.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Hey, listen, just a little CEO guy over here, not really knowing the old English. You know what I'm saying? Excerpt. How'd I do there? Excerpt?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, great. If anybody out there thinks I pronounced it wrong, feel free to come on in and tell me how to say excerpt correctly. All right. From the book Mindset, A Test Scores Forever. Let's take a closer look at why in the fixed mindset. So we're going to talk about fixed and growth here real quick. And I'm going to try to blow your fucking mind. In the fixed mindset, it's so crucial to be perfect right now. It's not. It's because one test or evaluation can measure you forever. 20 years ago, at the age of 5, Loretta and her family came to the United States. A few days later, the mother took her to her new school, where they promptly gave her a test. The next thing she knew, she was in her kindergarten class, but it was not the Eagles, the elite kindergarten class. As time passed, however, Loretta was transferred to the Eagles, and she remained with that group of students until the end of high school, garnering a bundle of academic prizes along the way, yet she never felt she belonged. That first test, she was convinced, diagnosed her fixed ability and said that she was not a true Eagle. Never mind that she had been 5 years old and had just made a radical change to a new country, or that maybe there hadn't been room in the Eagles for a while, or that maybe the school decided she would have an easier transition in a more low-key class. There are so many ways to understand what happened and what it meant. Unfortunately, she chose the wrong one. From the world of the fixed mindset, there is no way to become an Eagle. Remember that word. If you were a true Eagle, you would have aced the test and been hailed as an Eagle at once. Is Loretta a rare case, or is this kind of thinking more common than we realize? To find out, we showed fifth graders a closed cardboard box and told them it had a test inside. This test, we said, measured an important school ability. We told them nothing more. Then we asked them questions about the test. First, we wanted to make sure that they'd accepted our description. So we asked them, how much do you think this test measures as an important school ability? All of them had taken our word for it. Next, we asked, do you think this test measures how smart you are? And do you think this test measures how smart you'll be when you grow up? Students with the growth mindset had taken our word that the test measured an important ability, but they didn't think it measured how smart they were. And they certainly didn't think it would tell them how smart they'd be when they grew up. In fact, one of them told us, no way, ain't no test can do that. But the students with the fixed mindset didn't simply believe the test could measure an important ability. They also believed just as strongly that it could measure how smart they were and how smart they'd be when they grew up. They granted one test the power to measure their most basic intelligence now and forever. They gave this test the power to define them. That's why every success is so important to a fixed mindset. This book goes on to give you examples of in life and business and love, all these different things about fixed and growth mindset, and it will blow your fucking mind. It's wonderfully well written, and it's something specifically as I've been going through my mental health, my realization of my mental health bout over the last 24 months. My ability to acknowledge how fixed I am about when I'm really, really depressed, when I'm having a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, my ability to be fixed in that moment was incredible, because I'd already convinced myself that after Cameron passed, I had had 6 months where I've literally convinced myself that there's no way. Why would you come out of this feeling? There's no way you'd come out of this feeling. Why would you? And that's the fixed mindset taking over. And purely in the last 30 days, my, and obviously there's ebbs and flows with mental health, right? It's a constant. The mental health work that I'm going to do on myself, especially with my brain, is going to be on the continuum, right? Just over the last month, I've had this trigger that's gone off in my brain where it's been like this. You set up 6 meetings today. That's way too many. You've seen it. I go all in on these meetings, right? I am literally in that other person's like chair, right? And so I'm just absolutely drained when it's over. So yesterday I put way too many on the calendar. I put way too many client facing meetings on the calendar. It was going to be a 14 hour just, and like, there's no way that I wasn't going to have some super high irritability towards the end of the day. And oh my God, it was only 2:00 and I had lost. Oh, I mean, I was cranky at everybody. Like but the tank was empty. And I remember this moment where I go, this too shall pass. I'm good. Like I could attitude my way out of this right now. I was driving back from my 1:00 meeting. It was like 2:30. And I was like, oh, this is mindset right here. Like this is just like, this is purely just temporary. And like, this is also what I signed up for. And I changed my mindset to, yeah, this too shall pass, but let's go even farther. This is good. Like I changed it to being a positive moment, and it's mindset that talks about that. It realistically, you can go growth or you can go fixed. And for somebody that's on going to the mental health play here, for somebody that's on a true, manic depression type path, right? The slide gets more slippery as you go down, right? So it's more and more easy to know that you're not going to be a growth mindset and get out of it, right? It's a catastrophization that is fixed, right? That's where really working hard on the mindset, it's like, no, this is going to be fine. This is going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Like this is there's going to be next. This moment is not going to determine how I feel tomorrow or the next day or for the rest of my life or all these different things. So, I really encourage you guys, parents, entrepreneurs, kids, read the book Mindset, learn from it. It's incredible. It's going to make you angry at times at some of those people around you. It makes me angry. I know my parents will never listen to this podcast. I'd love it if they would, but I don't know if they know what a podcast is. Let's be clear on that. But I wrote them a little letter a while back about fixed versus growth mindset. It was a 4 or 5 page letter, and I tried to explain to them how I wanted to get closer to them, but I needed them to ditch some of their fixed tendencies to please help me, like be open minded. And literally they saw it as like an attack, and it was literally like,
"What are you trying to say about me?"
Hello, Kel. It's Pot. Why you call me black? Like, it was very frustrating for me, right? Two out of the 3 most favorite people in my entire life, besides my wife, and it's locked in. It's fixed, and like when you read the book, you're gonna see people in the book, and you're just gonna be like, "Wow." And it's going to frustrate you. Well, if you care, it's going to frustrate you. So mindset, guys, Dr. Carol Dweck, it's huge. So I'm going to segue into my third one, which is a business one. So I'm going to apply this one as kind of an asterisk, right? It's the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. It's by Al Reese and Jack Trout. And it's for such an ambiguous mind like mine, it's a very nice track to always come back to. I refer to so many of them so often, like the law of candor. If you give the consumer a negative, they'll give you a positive. So I think about like the Avis play. We're number two, so we try harder, right? Like I think about all that. And like the immutable laws of marketing hits like all the psychology plays and all the different things. And I just reread it like every, you know, it's only 100 pages and they're big letters like I like. Big letters like I like. Every couple months, and you just, well, I for sure go back to it almost every couple weeks, just looking at, for a specific rule. But violate them at your own risk. That's the basis of it. And it goes through, you can just learn a lot. Now where it's unfortunate is the majority of business owners that read the immutable laws of marketing, they don't actually know how to implement. Like they don't know how to make action from those, which is why, you know, I guess it, humble brag, it takes a certain type of mind to take the creative and make it into action, right? Or take the numbers and then turn them into creativity that actually creates action, like the book Brand Gap, right? Where it, you know, that's another one that you could, I'm just going to keep giving you guys all the good books. Brand Gap is basically takes the creative mind and makes it into, and it meets it with strategy, and it's fucking wild. It's blow your mind. You should definitely smoke some weed beforehand, like a bunch of it. And then you should be like,
So to recap, tell us just so again, what are the three books?
So Mindset by Dr. Carol Dweck, Dweck. The book Nudge, Nudge, by Richard Thaler and Cass R. Sunstein. So Nudge, New York Times bestseller, and then the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. Is my more like industry specific one. But I think that could be used for a lot of people for sure. Even if you're not in marketing, I think the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing is a good like growth book. Like it's worth your time. What else? Did I pretty much hit the I hit the pieces there and stuff like that?
I think that covered it.
I think those books are really worth your time. And I think that I'd love to get questions on them. If you guys have questions about the books, you want to talk about a certain excerpt.
That's right.
Out of the book, I'd love to, but I would read those books and hit us up. I'll shut up now.
All right, man. So that's some good knowledge today. So definitely check out those books, read them, maybe give them a stocking stuffers coming up for Christmas. And please tune in next week for another episode of the 452 podcast. Make sure you give us a review, and we're available on all the platforms.
Share it.
Yep, share it. Tell everyone, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.